Blog Talk Radio.
Time with Pastor Steph.
Good morning, good morning. Rise and shine. You're on with It's Due Time with Pastor Steph. How are you today? Okay, that's good. For this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. So, where were you yesterday? I tell you, I hope you really were with us yesterday, because this recap is not going to do a thing for what actually happened on its due time. Yesterday it was Let's Talk About It Tuesday. Yes, and we had our pastors in the house for church folk. Yes, and our Pastor Ed, Pastor Charlene, and our minister AJ joined us yesterday for a phenomenal topic. And we asked the question, why are Christians unhappy? And we went through a series of scenarios and had them break down exactly what it would take to make you unhappy, and how we ourselves create this atmosphere for us to end up in an unhappy mode. Yes. See, we don't think about it like that. We think that, you know, other people are the problem. We think that if this hadn't happened, or had I been born on a different day, or, you know, if the boss didn't do this, I would not be unhappy. And I got to tell you, it's from some of our own doing. Yes, we talked about the woman or the man, because the women are the only one who does this. You choose this man because you're lonely, and you think he's going to end all of your woes, and you're unequally yoked. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know that man who don't go to church, but you thought or you think it's going to make a difference if, you know, you hang around a little longer. Maybe you could be that kind of an influence on him. And guess what happens? Oh, after you marry, you find out that you are not the influence you thought you were going to be. Or this process is going to take just a little more time than you thought. Well, now, because of that, you are unhappy. Yes. And God gets to see that side of you, even though he tried to warn you in the beginning. And, you know, warnings come in a whole lot of different ways. when God wants to say no. But it's depending on if we choose to take that no. And most times we don't. So therefore, most times we end up unhappy. And, you know, this is very typical. This is a lot more common than you would think. Yes. Yes. Us making our own decisions and then being upset because things don't quite go our way. Well, what about that other situation? We talked about the sex and the pornography. Yeah, you know, Minister AJ got the ball rolling. You know, some people, you know, they take that verse, it's better to burn, better to marry than to burn. And Pastor Ed talked about the bed being undefiled. Yeah, well, that's what some people are looking at. And they jump up and they do these things. And guess what? You end up defiling the bed anyway. Because now, porn then took over your life. Mm-hmm. And do you realize the demons you're inviting in when you open up the world of pornography into your life? Oh, yeah. It gets wicked and nasty. And, you know, sometimes, you know, things just aren't happy at home. And we then go to our own device or vices, either one. And guess what? You end up unhappy. Yes, unfortunately, this stuff doesn't change things. The only thing that can change it is Jesus. And we had a fantastic closing yesterday in regards to that. Yeah. Who the Son has set free is free indeed. And how does that work for you? Who can attest to that one? Let's raise our hands. All right. So that's how we spend our fantastic Tuesday. Yeah, it was something else. Quite beautiful. So, if you did not get a chance to listen, I advise you to go back. If you did get a chance to listen, I still advise you to go back because you just may have missed something. Mm-hmm. See, when the broadcast and the show gets like that, you always got to go back because there always might be something that you may have missed. Yeah. Okay. So go back and listen. So today is Wow Wednesday. And you know how it goes down over here on a Wow Wednesday. And it gets quite live. Because we are very busy on Wednesdays. Yeah, we have to in order, you know, to get through the other half of the week. God has been so gracious to us that he has brought us safely through another week. And this Wednesday is a special one because we woke up today. Yes, and when you read the news and you survey all of the things that have happened to people, yeah, you should feel quite blessed to be on a Wild Wednesday, especially if your Wednesday is spent here, because the only way you get a Wild Wednesday is if you spend it with this due time with Pastor Steph. See? God has a whole lot in store for you today. So I can't wait until we get our day started. But before we do that, we have a little break. we're going to give you so you can, you know, grab that healthy breakfast and make sure you tell a friend. And, you know, I don't want to know that you didn't take this opportunity to tell somebody about a Wow Wednesday. Okay? So make sure, you know how fast you text. Yeah, put that into action. Okay? Because we are going to take a quick break and make sure you get settled. Don't go nowhere because before you know it, we'll be back, my dear. Ah.
When I have an asthma attack, I feel scared. Sometimes my parents have to take me to the hospital. I feel like a fish with no water.
You know how to react to their asthma attacks. Here's how to prevent them. Call 1-866-NO-ATTACKS. Visit www.noattacks.org or call your doctor. Because even one attack is one too many.
Good morning and good morning to you again. You're on with this due time with Pastor Steph. And I want to welcome you to Wow Wednesday. A fantastic day of the week. Every day is fantastic over here on this due time with Pastor Steph. But I especially say that because we're halfway through the week, and that is a whole lot to celebrate, okay? So, I hope you're comfortable. I hope you've done everything you need to do so you don't have to move. And we're going to give a moment to our girl, Vivian, so she can give us our socially conscious segment. Let's say good morning to Vivian. Good morning, Viv.
Good morning. Good morning. How are you?
I am well, thank you, Vivian. How are you?
I'm okay. I'm all right, thank you.
You sound like you got a cold.
I don't know. Something is going on. I think it's just allergies, but I'm all right.
Okay, okay, okay. Well, what you got for us today?
All right. Today on Socially Conscious, let's get to those COVID numbers. Top five states and territories with the highest COVID cases in the last 7 days are Florida is number one with 13,659 cases in the last 7 days. That is, unfortunately, an increase of over 4,000 cases since last week's report. Texas is number two with 8,001 cases in the last 7 days. That is a decrease of just about 900 cases in the last 7 days. California is number three with 4,338 cases in the last 7 days. That is a decrease of over 6,000 cases since last time we reported on Cali, which was about maybe 3 weeks ago. Washington is number four with 4,155 cases in the last 7 days. That is a decrease of over 2,000 cases since last week. And number five is Colorado with 3,985 cases in the last 7 days. So as we can see, we have mostly decreases in the numbers. And of course, leave it at Florida. Leave it up to Florida to have an increase of over 4,000 cases in the last 7 days and to break our streak. I spoke to a family member that lives in Florida, and he told me that Florida had been opened up their movie theaters and restaurants and things like that. He spoke about how nobody in Florida wears a mask anymore. They long time stopped wearing a mask. And he was so certain that COVID was fake, that everybody else was, as we would say, dragging it. But as we can see, it's not fake. Florida needs to get it together. They got 4,000 new cases because they're believing that it's okay to walk around without a mask. So there you have it. Now for your health, safety, and convenience, we have some recalls this week. Philo Crackers has recalled their frozen Greek yogurt bars due to metal shavings found in their products. These products are found mostly in Costco grocery stores, but they have been sold in other local grocery stores. So that is Philo or Clio, C-L-I-O, Crackers. They have recalled their frozen Greek yogurt bars due to metal shavings found in their products. Banner Smoked Fish Inc. and multiple other brands have recalled their smoked fish products. They recalled some salads, pickled fish products, and some other fish products that include salmon, trout, whitefish, and many other products due to potential listeria contamination. It was a very long list of products that has been recalled, so I will be sure to leave that link on the Coach for Christian Life Facebook page so you can go and take a look at that and make sure you don't have these items in your house or that you don't buy them going forward. So while I was looking for news stories, I noticed a trend, which was, let's say, the war on kids. Almost every news story that I found was about a child being harmed, killed, or unprotected. So I decided to go with that trend. And I have here just a few of these stories for today's segment. Our first story is a local news story. Police are looking for a 41-year-old man by the name of Dwayne Gordon, who is alleged to have raped three 13-year-old females in his home in Springfield Gardens, Queens. Police say Gordon allegedly drugged the girls with sleeping pills when they came to visit his daughter, and then he raped them. Gordon is described as approximately 5'10", weighing 180 pounds, brown eyes, short black hair, and police are asking if anyone has, any information on his whereabouts to please call Crime Stoppers so that they can bring him in. Another story we have, a woman in Texas has been arrested and charged with criminal trespassing and tampering with government records after she posed as her 13-year-old daughter and attended school for almost an entire day to prove a point about school shootings. Casey Garcia is 30 years old, and she recorded and shared her day on social media posing as her 13-year-old daughter. Garcia said she put on some fake tanner, dyed her hair, and wore a face mask, and she made it all the way to seventh period without anyone noticing her. Excuse me. Ms. Garcia stated she did it because there has been one too many mass shootings in schools, and that could have been prevented by putting metal detectors and more security in the schools. Ms. Garcia spoke about how she spoke to staff and teachers and no one said anything to her the whole time. The one time that any of the teachers or staff said something to her, teacher asked her to put away her phone by saying, "Hey, you, put your phone away." So Ms. Garcia she's been arrested and she's being held for bond of about $8,000. She's saying that, would you have rather it been her or someone who wanted to, take their Fifth Amendment, the right to carry, and, sneak into the school and start shooting? I'm a little iffy about her cause about her real intentions, but it's interesting to see that she was able to, a 30-year-old was able to get into the school and make it all the way to seventh period without anybody being wise to what was. So in Los Angeles, we have two people who have been arrested in the fatal shooting of a 6-year-old boy after a road rage incident. Marcus Anthony Eric, who is 24, and Wayne Lee, who is 23, details about what led to the incident were disclosed to the police for a $500,000 reward. The story says that the boy was on his way to kindergarten when another vehicle opened fire on his mother's car while she was driving. Aiden was sitting in his booster seat, and he told his mother that his tummy hurt after being struck by a bullet, and unfortunately, 6-year-old Aiden did not make it, and he was pronounced dead at the hospital. And now we have our wow story of the week, which follows the trend. A mom is being charged after shooting while trying to target a loose dog in Houston, Texas. Reports say that the mother and son and a family member were riding bikes near at home. 6-month-old boxer puppy ran out of the home unleashed. The mother, thinking she was going to protect her son, pulled out her little gun and lets out 3 shots. The dog was only grazed, while 1 bullet ricocheted, striking her son in the stomach. Thankfully, it was not a fatal shot. The boy was rushed to the hospital and is expected to make a full recovery. The dog, on the other hand, is just had a little scratch on him. Angela Vargas is 24, and she is being charged with deadly conduct with a firearm. And I don't know, I can just imagine this whole story being played out. So we have this 24-year-old mom with a 5-year-old child, so that means she got pregnant and she had a child very early in life, so she's pretty young, and she's walking around with this little gun thinking she's tough, and at the first chance that she got to use this gun, she uses it. She pulls it out and she starts shooting. She obviously doesn't know how to use it because you let off 3 shots, all of them miss the dog, and you wind up harming your 5-year-old son who's now in the hospital recovering from a gunshot wound. Now she's in jail. Well, she's been arrested. She's out on bond. And now you're being charged with deadly conduct with a firearm. And because of her race, she sounds and looks as though she may be Spanish. So she's not on the other side of the offense. So she may possibly be doing some time. And now this 5-year-old is possibly going to have to go through the system or stay with a family member until things are figured out. All because you wanted to be tough and use your gun. Why are we even riding bikes with our child and feel like we have to have a gun on us? I just don't understand. But this has been Vivian with The Socially Conscious, giving you the news that we are following. And remember, if you have any wow stories you'd like to submit, feel free to direct message me on my Facebook. My username there is Vivian BM. And come back every Wednesday to find out if your story has been chosen. Thank you again to all of our loyal listeners, and thank you, Pastor Steph.
Thank you, Vivian. I got a little news for you. Let me do a little recap. I like to always go over your news. Well, I'm mad, but I expected Florida to break the trend of you know, the decrease in the numbers, and it doesn't surprise me when you say that nobody's wearing a mask or anything like that. So this was to be expected. You're right. You know, when you go into the news, all you see, Vivian, is news that just against the child. Every time you turn around, it's something against our children. And to think that I'm sending my child over to your home, or my child is visiting your home, and nobody notices that the girls are not there or they're missing, you know, once they get in the home. What happens when they cross the threshold that this 41-year-old father has room enough to drug them and rape them? What are you doing with your own kid that she don't know that her friends are missing? 41 years old and you're raping your 13-year-old daughter's friends? I mean, come on. Listen, Vivian, let's just talk frank. They giving it away out here, girl. You ain't got to ask some women twice. All you got to do is just look a little hard, look like you interested in her, because she going to be interested in you. You don't have to take nothing out here, especially from our babies. I mean, come on. They need to put you underneath 5 jails. You don't need to be breathing at all. That's just disgusting. The other teacher, the parent who poses is a 13-year-old. That's just so whack. It's like, okay, what was your point? I agree with you. Really? That's all you got to do is to... Because at the end of the day, did she really prove anything? No. Didn't prove anything. Right. Ooh, I mean, come on. And the mom that shot at the dog, you know, you gave that a little bit of attention. And I think, again, I agree with you. You know, we're at the point where everybody feels like there's a need to carry a gun. And unfortunately, you know, you aim for the dog and you somehow ricochets and hits your kid. That shows that, you know what, you need to leave that practice alone. How about that?
Exactly.
You don't need to be one of them people to carry no gun. Because if you're honestly aiming at the dog and the kid got hit, you know, that's not, you know, something intended. And it's, you know, but it shows some level of negligence. And you really need to leave that at home or in somebody else's home. You don't need to have it at all. But here's the news that I do have for you. You know, it says that they want to know more information. Well, I read yesterday, you know, this incident that took place with the little boy in the back seat, in the car seat with his mom, who got shot by these two dodo birds. What happened was road rage.
Mm-hmm.
He was driving, the woman was driving and cut off the mom. And the mom got annoyed and threw up a finger or so. She made some kind of a gesture, clearly made them mad. And next thing you knew, they were shooting. They pulled up behind her and they started shooting. That's how he got shot from behind. So there's your story. And again, a bunch of knuckleheads. The man was arrested, and so was the driver, because when they asked her what happened, she lied, and they arrested her for obstruction of justice. And so she's going to have to spend a little bit of time, too, because they now have some type of law. I think this happened in Wisconsin. There's some law out there now that I wish I had kept it. But it's some kind of extra laws that they have put into place for people who act recklessly, especially when it's children. So, they're going to pay. They're going to pay dearly for all the other ones who got away. So there's the details to your story. And unfortunately, you know, this is what we're contending with these days. But thank you so much, Viv, for always doing a wonderful job and giving us our socially conscious news. Have a blessed day.
Thank you. You too.
Thank you. I feel better.
Thanks.
Okay, you're welcome. Ah, so good morning. That's our socially conscious segment. And Vivian talked about some crazy stuff here today. And my ladies, you know how we do. I always like to start with talking to my lady friends. Good morning, Elder Nitisha.
Good morning, beautiful. And for you and my sisters and all of our listeners.
How are you today?
I am doing well. Thank you so much.
How are you? That's good. I'm doing well. Thank you. I'm doing well. So we had some rolls of news from Vivian. And unfortunately, we got our whole streak broken by guess who? Florida, who has 4,000 new cases. And are you surprised, though, from Florida?
No, I'm not surprised. When I was just there last month, and, I mean, nobody was requiring anything. You were just walking around chilling. you can go into the stores without a mask on. We were at the resort. You didn't need a mask. So, yeah, I'm not surprised.
Wow. Well, that's what Vivian said, her family member said, that it's just nobody wears a mask at all anymore. So it's almost like, well, you're inviting this creature back into your lives.
Yeah.
Come on. After being on the good side. But they've always been too liberal and generous and lax. And that really is not the biggest surprise there is. So I don't know how much you heard about the war on children, but you had the case where the 41-year-old dad has been arrested for drugging and raping his 13-year-old daughter's friends. I think it was three of them. And see, when we have our children, and let's talk about this, because see, I love talking to you ladies, because I always get the mom side from you, and Pastor Kevin always get the child side from Tamika. But here's what I want to talk about this morning. I want to talk about the fact that when your child wants to go over to somebody's house, come on, Elder Nitisha, and you get to asking them questions. Who lives there? Who does this? Who does that? I remember my girls could never spend the night out. And my thing was, first of all, I don't know who got keys. You know, I said, because you always ask, well, who lives there? Well, it's only her and her mom and her little brother. I'm like, but who got keys? Now, you don't know that answer. and unfortunately, neither do I. I'm dead serious. Ask Sean Cheese. I used to say, who got keys? I don't know who got keys. You know who got keys? We don't know who got keys. So while you sleeping, anything could be going on. Come on, you got girls. What are we talking about here?
Yeah, no, I'm in the same mindset as you. I never allowed my girls to hang out, spend the night at people's houses and things of that nature. Unfortunately, now that they are adults, you know, they're making their choices and they want to be closer to the city. So, you know, Anaya does stay at her friend's house, but she had to become of age 18 before she was able to actually make that decision. But yeah, growing up, I didn't play that. I took my daughter out of a daycare because the son came opening up the door with no shirt on. I said, my daughter can't come here. I'm good. Yeah. and literally, it was just because of that. And the mother was like, it was just, you was early. You were the first one. I said, I understand, but I'm uncomfortable. I am uncomfortable with the fact that my daughter is here. Your son came to the door with no shirt on. I don't like it. And I took my daughter out of that daycare. So, yeah, I didn't play that.
I don't blame you. But what kind of excuses? You were the first one.
Right.
You were the first one that got a peek.
Right.
Girl, I don't know. Sometimes people are caught so off guard, they just don't even know how to answer. So I can't even imagine him. Oh, I'm so sorry. So you were the first one. But wait, let me make sure I understand this right. Did you say he answered the door?
So you know how they have, they when they started building those private homes, and this was a private home, and she had the whole first floor as the daycare. It was really set up nice. You walked in her gate, and you had the sliding boards and things of that nature, you know, out front for the children, and then you knocked on the door, and it was, you know, they would open up the door, and inside was set up. Their whole first floor was set up like a daycare. And so I had to be to work extremely early. And so I was dropping, this was my oldest one, I was dropping Azalea off at maybe about 6 o'clock in the morning. And so that's why she said, oh, but, you know, you were first. Like, you came at 6 o'clock in the morning. He was still getting dressed. I'm like, miss, your son is 17. I don't care. You don't, who comes to the door? If this is your business, who comes
right.
to the door with their shirt off? This is business.
Right.
You knew, we discussed the fact that I was dropping her off the next day at 6. So you knew I was coming, you know what I mean? She really didn't understand. She didn't understand it, but I'm hypersensitive to stuff like that.
Absolutely. And, again, my question, I don't blame you because I would have pulled my child too. But this scenario leaves a lot to question as to you're the dad. My daughter's going over to your house to visit mm-hmm. your daughter. Where was your daughter that she didn't miss my child? What happened?
Right.
What happened here? You know, did she knock on the door looking for you and you weren't there? And therefore, he said, come on in. You know, you could wait a minute. It's just so many different thoughts as to how this could happen. But it's so scary because you mm-hmm. would like to think that other adults are going to protect your child the way they would want their child protected. And it's just, wow.
Yeah.
I tell you.
You know, then you also have the scenario where you have a men that groom their own children to participate in such behaviors, right? And at 13, we don't know if she was groomed to kind of invite friends over.
Yes.
You know what I mean? And kind of
know
that was going to happen. So that could have also been the situation.
Yeah, they are really using, and I actually consider that, and I try to stay away from it, actually, for the thought, because I think about how many times now these people are using their own to help to draw the victim.
Yeah.
And they do it a lot with the sex trafficking, and it's just, like you said, you know, these people are groomed and brainwashed, you know, and at 13 years old. You don't know what
mm-hmm.
dad, you know, could be saying to her and
mm-hmm.
or even doing to her, you know. So it's very, very scary. So you do have an excellent point. I was kind of holding my breath against that one because I know how real it is, you know. So
right.
Woo! Well, thank you so much for joining us this morning and getting our conversation jump-started and underway. Woo!
My
Already
pleasure.
My heart is beating. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Let's say good morning to our Lady Tamika. Good morning, Lady Tamika.
Good morning. Happy Wednesday to you, to the ladies on the line, as well as to our listeners. We greatly appreciate everyone. Happy Wednesday.
Absolutely. Happy Wednesday to you back. So, we're talking about this Florida who just can't seem to keep themselves together here. And now they done threw our little streak straight out the window. Are you really, like, shocked that it's Florida?
I'm not. You know, if you've been listening to, you know, just the news and, you know, the numbers, and even in the very beginning when COVID started, If out of all the states, Florida seemed to me to be the most resistant to kind of have this atmosphere of, it can never happen to me, you know. And we actually had people that came out there that actually verbalized, oh, it's a hoax, or the government this and the government that. And I'm going, but people have actually been sick. You know, people are dying in our state, you know, one right behind the other. How could you say something that's happening to people so prevalently is a fake, or, you know, they're just trying to get our, you know, and I just don't get it. You know, it's still out here, and I understand, I get it. Nobody, prior to this, we weren't wearing masks on a daily basis. It's uncomfortable. Nobody really likes it. However, just for safety measures, if not for anyone else, for yourself, don't you want to be, you know, ensure your safety? And then, of course, then the mentality would be to ensure other people's safety. Apparently not in this particular state.
Listen, girl, love your neighbor as yourself. You don't care about you, because if you're walking around talking about it doesn't exist, then you don't love you. So you know your neighbor goes out the window. Okay? Who cares about the neighbor? You don't even care about yourself. So, unfortunately, that's the mindset. All right. So we got the 41-year-old dad who has lost his ever-loving mind and victimizing our babies. What do you think?
You know, I'm one of those people, you know, if the Lord had ever blessed me to have a child, I would probably, I'm just being realistic, I'd probably drive my child crazy. Where you going? Who are you going with? What time you coming back? What time you leaving? Who's going with you? How many people? You know, I know for a fact that, you know, my child just be like, I'll just stay home, because I know I would literally drop, because I'm so protected. Even with my nephew, now we're talking about a boy child. This is my nephew. When I was always so cautious about something as simple as us going into the store, and if I can't see you, I lose my, where are you going? We're in the store. And it got so bad until he was 12, and I was like, you're holding my hand. Don't let go of my hand. Because he used to love to just sneak around the corner for a few moments, and I'm like, no, get my, you know, you know how awkward that feels for a 12-year-old to be still holding an adult hand, you know. So, you know I made him uncomfortable. He still loves me, I know he does, but I put him through it.
You know, you said that if you were to have a child, that you would be asking questions. Well, I could tell you, and probably Elton Atisha as well, and probably when we get to Pastor Kim, I have a 22-year-old, and she can't take it. Because, see, they think they're grown, and they don't need their sin. You know, unfortunately, once they leave, you can't do anything about it. But still, when she's coming down the steps, and you're sitting in the living room, and she's like, okay, I'm being married. Like, where are you going? I'm going out with so-and-so. No, I'm going out. Where are you going? I'm going so-and-so. Well, who you going with? So-and-so. Oh, come on, Ma. You just don't rest. You just don't rest. So, and God forbid, again, sure, I'll go back to, you know, what our parents used to tell us. At least I know where you're not. So, you know, when there was this big explosion over there with the World Trade Center, I knew who wasn't there. You know, so I don't think they understand. You know, we talked about this many day, ladies, about how, you know, you walk with your heart outside your stomach the moment you give birth. Mm-hmm. Your life is not your own anymore. So, Lady Tamika, trust me when I tell you, you got it right, because you would be asking questions and all kinds of stuff. She went away, and I'm like, who's going? All right, I was waiting to hear the names that I knew. You know what I'm saying? And just holding my breath, thanking God that I didn't hear names that I didn't know. So, listen, you got it. It's just inherited as a parent.
The other thing is, it's one thing that, you want to believe that everybody has the same mindset as you being the parent. And
mm-hmm.
as we're
mm-hmm.
coming along the times in the days and ages, it's very, very clear that they don't. You know, people don't
mm-hmm.
raise their children the same way that
yep.
you raise your children. And so I remember as a child, you know, oh, Mom, I want to go to such and such's house. Okay, who are they? You know, and
mm-hmm.
at the time when I was a child, I didn't understand. Because it's like, okay, well, you know, they've got children. What's the problem? You know, but then
right.
as you get older, you start to look at things and you go, wait a minute. The reason why they had so much freedom is because the parents were doing something that they shouldn't have been
right,
doing, or they were not
right.
paying attention as they should. And then you look at,
mm-hmm.
as you grow up, you're looking at the way that you grew up, and you look at this now adult who is the same age as
mm-hmm.
you or somewhere along those
mm-hmm.
lines. You're like, oh, whoa, how did this go so wrong? It started wrong in the household. And so
right.
I am glad that you said, no, you can't go.
Yep.
No, you can't spend time with them. You understand
yep.
later, by and by, but you get it.
You got that right. I don't know about the two of you, but and I'm going to find out from Pastor Kim. When I was growing up, if I said, can I go to so-and-so's house, my mother, she would say, where? And then I would tell her. She said, to do what? I said, just to sit and talk. You can sit and talk in your own house. She said, you can sit and talk in your own house. I'm like, oh.
Yep.
So, yeah, no.
You got your own couch.
That's right. You got your own TV.
Yep.
It's so true. And when you think about it, it's like you said, Tamika, you know, it's like it seems so mean years ago. But, man, you understood why as you got to be an adult because, yeah, all kinds of things go on. All kinds of things go on. Thank you so much for joining us today. Happy to have you. Oh, let's say good morning to our Pastor Kim. Good morning, Pastor Kim.
Good morning, Pastor Steph, and everyone that is listening today. How are you?
How are you? I'm doing well.
Good.
Listen,
good.
Pastor Kim, I want to know first off what you think about the people in Florida. Are you surprised that they got the numbers going in the opposite direction as the rest of the nation?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. You know, because everybody was running from all of these, you know, other different states, you know, to Florida when, you know, the pandemic, when everything was, you know, when the numbers were high, you know, everybody is running to Florida like it wasn't in Florida. But, you know, people probably were taking drugs, you know, they weren't wearing masks, you know, everybody on the beaches. And, you know, I mean, it was like, you know, they didn't believe the fat meat was greasy. So, you know, I mean,
uh-huh.
it's like, what do you expect is going to happen, you know, if everybody is out there uncovered, you know? So
yeah,
it is, you know, I'm not surprised about that at all, you know. And Florida is just
yeah.
wild. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah. They have always been buck wild out there when it came to this particular topic. Ah, so we're going to shift gears on you, Pastor Kim. You hear us talking about this 41-year-old dad who's drugging and raping, he's been accused of, three of his daughter's girlfriends at 13 years old. And here's what I say, Pastor Kim. You can say what you want to say, but I want to take us back here. Just like I said to Vivian, you can give it away. It's giving away. You ain't got to mess with nobody who don't want to give it to you. They giving it away. What's going on in these places, in these people's homes?
You know, it's, you know, nothing is new under the sun. You know, this stuff was going on, you know, in the time of Sodom and Gomorrah, you know, the lust of the flesh. You know, it still exists. And I think that a lot of times until certain things are brought out or certain things happen, it's like we're kind of naive to certain things and we don't want to talk about it, or certain sins are not just exposed. But it happens all the time, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It happens all the time. The lust of the flesh, you know, people are men being lovers of themselves, you know, just self-gratification, wanting to be pleased and and just wherever you can get it, you're going to take it, you know. And unfortunately, you know, innocent young children, you know, are being violated, you know, parents having sex with their own children. I mean, just yesterday, I got a phone call from a family member, and she was just bawling, crying because of the fact that her son, her adult son, had raped her adult daughter. And she didn't by getting him locked up, but they let him out. And now that the daughter has gone to court, it's like they, you know, the daughter is blaming the mom, like, you know, this is your fault, you know, that he did this, but they're adults. They were drunk. You know, so in the drunkenness and the drinking and the drugs and the alcohol and different things, you know, not to justify a person's actions, but a lot of times you got people that had rooted incest in the family, you know, hurt people, you know, so it's like a generational curse that goes on throughout generations in life and different things, and it's just sad, and that's why we have to cover our children. And because of the things that I know, especially from what I found out that happened to my daughter, you know, from a family member. You know, we really have to, you can't trust anybody. You have to be careful for more. And I'm glad that even like having my grandchildren, you know, I might be a little overprotective of them. You know, I don't care if it's when you're at your dad's house or at your mama's house or whoever. You know, I ask them in the morning. You know, act like, well, oh, grandma, this and that. You know, I simply have to just explain to them and let them know this is why.
Right.
You know.
Right.
I don't mean to be overprotective, but you need to understand these are things that happen. You know, did anybody touch you, whether a man, a woman, a girl, boy, whoever, in the school, when you at school, make sure that, you know, you don't let nobody remember this is your privacy, you know, and that's why I call it your privacy, because it's private and nobody. Absolutely nobody should put their hands on it or touch it, you know. And they, you just have to teach them young, you know, and train them, you know, that no, that nobody should ever touch or violate you, you know. And when you teach them young, then when they start growing up, you know, because, see, again, the flesh wants to be clean. And what started off even with a lot of people that I know as something so terrible and something that was, you know, act that crossed the line, it became something because they were like a prisoner to their victim. They you know, it became pleasurable because, again, the flesh wants to be pleased. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely, absolutely. Before we go any further, I need you to – you got to talk into your phone because we're losing you in spots, and I don't want to miss anything any of you are saying. So get a little closer to that phone so we can hear everything.
Okay. Okay. Is that better?
Oh, that's much better. Much better. Thank you. Much better. Thank you. You know, as you were talking, you know, it's – when you talk about, you know, when we go to school, we send our children to school and telling them, you know, don't do this, don't do that, don't do this, don't do that. And unfortunately, you know, they have to be made alert, like you said, everywhere they go. Everywhere they go, there's no place that's safe. And, you know, what else do you do but try to equip them, like you said, to tell them, okay, this is your area. This is your private area. You know, you don't let anybody, you know, touch. And it's so sad that this is, like you said, this is not new. I mean, this is stuff that happened many, 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 many years ago. But unfortunately, you know, it's getting worse. It's really getting worse. And, you know, to hear that. Now, was this her brother who raped her?
Yes.
And they let him go based on what?
You know what? She said that they had let him. They had him locked up, and some kind of way he had got out, and he was out on like a teller or something like that. And so I guess maybe they didn't have the evidence back. I want to say maybe that was the reason.
Okay.
And so now they got the evidence that, you know, I guess they, you know, had his,
they needed,
you know, And so they got his, you know, stuff and found out that it was him, that he did do it. And so I guess she's, like, reliving this thing all over again. And because, you know, the family member, the mom was on drugs and stuff, and she had, like, gave them the house, you know. But, again, they were grown. And the brother and sister, you know, here they are. They're living in the house, probably partying, drinking, or whatever. And the brother, you know, he did that, you know, to, yeah. And I think that they had already, like, been exposed to, like, different things being in the system while the mom was on drugs. So just a lot of dysfunction, you know.
Wow.
Again, you know, these generational curses and, you know, this stuff that's, you know, this incest and different things that has gone on, you know, early on and then carried on into adulthood. And it's just a very unfortunate, sinful, lustful act that happens, you know, to people that are, I mean, just innocent people, you know. And it's just, you know, and you just have to pray, because we are in our last and evil days. And when I say these are just some evil times, it's just so many different evil acts that are taking place, you know. And we just have to pray.
Absolutely. That's the only thing you can do is pray. I had a great aunt who used to say, see how she used to put it, because she'd tell you exactly the words. So to find a clean version, she used to say, you know, every sleeping ain't, you know, every clothes I ain't sleep, and every, you know, everything ain't sleep in that area. And it's true. Mm. You know, it, whatever, like Pastor Kim was saying, you know, this is the lustfulness. So you can't, at the end of the day, you can't trust anybody. Because, you know, what may seem to be safe, what has been safe at one time, maybe in your world, is no longer safe. So we really got to do our job and equip our daughters and our sons, our nieces and our nephews, our grandchildren. You know, we have to equip everybody now to don't let your guard down at all.
Mm-hmm.
And pray over your adult children, you know, who are just crossing over the threshold and who are eager to live but are not paying attention to some of the things that can go on. And that's just the scariest thing. The scariest thing. I have one who just, she loves to spend the night out. And I'm like, Lord, just cover her. Because you don't sleep and they just zeezing away. They are comfortable, zeezing, relaxed, and you the one thinking, you know, praying. Like, this, we got to fix this cycle here. We got to fix this cycle. Oh, but ladies, thank you so much for indulging me. I'm sure that there are some listeners out here who have been awakened. You know, something has been said that has really alerted them to just pay more attention to our children. And if we can't dictate where they sleep, and you know, spend the night and, you know, chill, then just get to praying. So that's the only thing that you can do once they have stepped away from you. So.
Pastor Steph, I'm sorry. I just wanted to say one more thing that I think is crucial. We do, as parents, need to teach our children, or even as the village, the importance of personal space. In that, you know, a male or female makes you feel uncomfortable, and verbalizing that, because a lot of times you are used to people being around you, but there's probably, you know, in some instances, there's someone who makes you feel uncomfortable. They haven't touched you, however, they're always in your face, you know, and they're in approximate to you that makes you feel uncomfortable. You know, not so much at touching, if even if something something like that, as small as, you know, they're always in my face, you know, they're always, you know, oh, you're so pretty, you're putting your hands on my face or you're touching my skin, and you make me feel uncomfortable. Even if you don't know why as a child, make sure that that relationship is open enough to say, you know, mommy, such and such doesn't make me feel good. I don't like when I'm in such and such's presence. So that, you know, it's not so, let's go further than touching. How do you feel? Is it something that they say? Is it a way that she or he looks at you? I think it's vital and it's important.
No, it's a very good point. A very good point, because that is the case for some people. You know, listen, we experience it as adults. So we know that younger, absolutely, you know, or children experience it. So it's a very good point. Thank you for raising that for us today. Thank you so much. Ladies, we have been talking for a few weeks now about this intentional living by Christian women. And we're going to get through this thing if it kills me. And we've talked about intentional living, you know, as we are parenting, which comes right back today, comes right back up today. We've talked about intentional living in loving one another. We've talked about intentional living, you know, in submitting to our husbands. And now we have intentional in using our gifts and talents for glorifying God. Pastor, Elder, Natisha, get us started, please. Intentional in using our gifts and talents to glorify God.
I think that encompasses being, you know, sensitive to the Spirit. And I think before we can start even discussion about intentionality, about our gifts and talents, that we have to be intentional about knowing what our gifts and talents are and understand that submitting them back to God is by the usage of them, you know, to his people, right? It's the will of God that no man be lost. It's the word of the Lord says that there will be no one who will be able to say that they had not experienced or heard the gospel of Jesus Christ, or that they did not experience his love, his giving, his generosity. And the way that that happens is through us. And so it's recognizing our gifts and our talents, not just as being people that are operative in the church and hold positions in the church or stand behind the pulpit, but understand the ministry of presence, understanding the ministry of generosity, understanding the ministry of just, you know, sowing back into your community, you know, being present at the community, being a God-fearing, God-conscious individual in the midst of dark, you know, and adding that godly perspective. Like, that's work and that's ministry. And I don't think that that's talked about often enough. People only are able to identify their giftings and their talents by way of what they do in church. And I think this is a great opportunity in this discussion to really talk about, you know, the range, the wide range of gifting that exists in the body of Christ, that you don't necessarily have to, you know, be this person, again, behind the pulpit. But if you just simply show up at your community board meeting and you're able to give a godly perspective that influences the decisions that are made in your community, that is powerful. And that is one of the ways that you can show up. And that's being intentional. That's recognizing, you know what? I am a child of God. I have a different experience. I have a different understanding. I have a different insight. And so I am going to show up at places to lend my insight as a woman of God, as a man of God.
Oh, wonderful, wonderful, wonderful start. Lady Tamika, we're talking about being intentional in using our gifts and talents to glorify God.
I'm glad that Elder Natisha opened it up that way, because she's absolutely spot on in that. Things are not acknowledged outside of the church. Yeah, okay, fine, you have a ministry and you do such and such on Sunday, and that's something that you do every day. However, this life that we live, You can glorify God in so many different avenues, and being intentional about it. I remember some of the people that I have crossed in my life. Something as small as a hug. I remember this young lady that I went to college with. When I tell you, if she hugged you, it was amazing. Like, you could feel the authority and the love of God when she hugged you. And I remember her coming with me to a service, and the spirit was very, very high. And all she did was hug this young lady, and she was out for at least 20 minutes easy. You know, and so there's so much authority when you intentionally allow God to go through you in ministry and know that you're ministering in places where you may never be able to verbalize, you know, the word, you know, the titles of God or Jesus, because in your workplace it may be shunned. But the fact that you can continue to do that, something as small as giving out gift cards. You know, I remember a lady that used to write letters. She used to put little index cards on your desk, thinking of you, hoping that you're having a wonderful day. She never used any, you know, verbiage that would let you, you know, per se that said Jesus or God, but you know what the intention was in the workplace, you know. Someone who does something as small as small acts, you know, they're always buying little gifts for the office or providing things. Those are ways to definitely display the acts of God without necessarily putting the title or the ring to it. And I think in this day and time, some people don't necessarily want to hear the titles, but they want to know that somebody out there cares for them. You know, that one act can save somebody's life and therefore change them from that day forward.
Oh, wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. Pastor Kim, we're talking about the Christian woman being intentional in using her gifts and talents to glorify God.
Absolutely. I think it's important that we use them in mind, body, and soul, you know, to glorify God. You know, we present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. You know, it's so important because that's what God saved us for, you know. And we have to constantly, you know, as Paul would say, ask God to stir up the gift, you know, that's within us, you know, because we have so much that's in us. And that's why God called us out of darkness into his marvelous light, so that we can glorify him and like through our testimonies. You know, we're glorifying God when we testify, you know, because the Bible says in Revelation that we overcame them by our testimonies and by the blood of the Lamb. So when we are a testament and when we allow ourselves to be a walking and living testament of what God can do, when people know your past, when people know where you came from, when people know who you were before you got saved, you know, in your lifestyle, you know, people, God is being glorified because this is showing somebody, wow, God is real. I remember when she was smoking, she was drinking, she was doing all these ungodly things, and wow, if God did it for her, he could do it for me, you know. So it is so important that we as Christians, as women of God, that we have every intention in our day-to-day living to give God glory in everything that we do, you know, in word or in deed, you know, whatever it is that we're doing, we should want God to be glorified. It's just like with children. We should want our parents to be proud of us in our day-to-day living and the things that that we did as kids when we were coming up. You know, we want our parents to be proud to say, wow, you know, I did a good job in raising them, you know. And it's just like God, you know, he wants to be glorified. You know, he wants his glory to be manifested in us and through us, you know, in the life that we live, you know. So we should be a living testament of God's awesomeness and his power.
Amen, amen. Wonderful beginning, ladies. And we're going to take a quick pause so we can hear from our Techie Talk area. Good morning, Dwayne.
Hey, good morning. Yes.
How are you?
Blessed and highly favored, sis. I'm doing well. Hello, ladies. How are you, ladies?
Good morning.
Good
morning.
Good. How are you?
All right now. All right.
What you got for us today?
Well, I posted something on Coach for Christian Life Facebook page. I just want to let everybody know, you know, I'm available. I'm the IT person for all of you, for whatever needs or questions that you may have. You know, my name is Dwayne McLeese. My telephone number is 646-361-4698. I can be reached on Facebook for my name or on Coach for Christian Life as well. I just want to let everybody know that sometimes the USB flash drives, they tend to break or snap in half, or the metal piece is attached to the computer while you're holding the other end of it in your hand. that has happened to so many people, and it's very frustrating because you have a lot of your data on that. I can fix those. I can't promise that, you know, that you'll get your data back. However, I can fix those. So you just take both those pieces, the metal piece that broke off along with the base piece, put it in a Ziploc bag and give me a call. We make arrangements for it to be sent to me. Allow me to solder it back on to retrieve your data. And nine times out of ten, I won't give you back that same device. I'll probably have you purchase a brand new one and just copy the data off of the old damaged one over to the new. So please don't throw any of those out. Also, if you have an old laptop or old desktop and you want your data transferred from the old to the new, I take care of that as well. So I'm here for service. I'm here for service. I'm here for advice, for help. Again, my name is Dwayne McLeese. My telephone number is 646-361-4698. Yes, go get the pen by the, it's right by the coffee table, right by the coffee. Get the pen, write this down, 646-361-4698. Again, I'm all about service and helping out the community. I do charge for some of my, you know, services and all, but most times if you call me up and you need help with something, I'm more than happy to train or to help or to assist.
Amen. Well, thank you so much for assuring us and reassuring us that you are there to help with all of our technical issues. Thank you so very much, Dwayne. We appreciate loyalty and your generosity. It's a blessing. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Take care, ladies.
Thank you.
Have a good day.
All right. So, come on. See, you're talking about being intentional with your gifts and talents to glorify God. And look at how we just got that wonderful, wonderful offering that he gives each and every week. You know, let's give God thanks for all the gifts that he sends us day by day that we don't even anticipate. Ladies, we're talking about being intentional in our living, and we are up to being intentional about studying God's word. Come on, Lady Tamika, what you got? Are you talking to the mute button, Lady Tamika?
No, I'm sorry. I was studying my God's word. I apologize.
You know what? I can't. That's a Minister AJ answer.
No. Realistically in life, you know, especially as women, there are so many different things that acquire our time. you know, if it's not something that's dealing with the house, it's a family member, if you're married, spouse, children, there are so many different things. And even sometimes just in our everyday affairs, there are things that attract our attention. You might have chosen to do a certain thing, and before you know it, a half an hour has gone by, and you said, well, I only allotted 15 minutes of my day for that thing. You know, even something as simple as social media can detract you from doing things. But, you know, you sometimes have to make up in your mind, okay, at 5 o'clock in the morning, I'm getting up, come what may, everything else has to wait. You literally sometimes in life have to literally set aside some day and time to say, okay, you know, this is the time that I have to focus with God. And there will be times when things will come and try to detract from that, but intentionally taking that time out and saying, this is my time with God, and allowing that time to be just that is so amazing. You learn more things about God, and even in that, you learn more about yourself and your growth and your changes, and allowing God to do that is such a beautiful thing.
All right, all right. Pastor Kim, we have to be intentional about studying God's holy word.
Absolutely. The word of God tells us in 2 Timothy, the second chapter, that we need to study to show ourselves approved, you know, unto God. You know, so that means that it's imperative when we are called of God that we know the word of God, you know, and we have to discipline ourselves. You know, like every day, every morning, I have the Bible app downloaded to my phone. And so every day I get the daily scripture. And the first thing I do in the morning is see what God's word is, you know, see what that scripture is for the day, meditate on it. And I've also, not just for myself, but I always post it on Facebook, and I share it with another young lady, and she shares her scripture with me as well, you know. And so, you know, it's something that I just try to make a daily practice of, you know, so that I'm getting God's word in my spirit, you know, the first thing in the morning, you know, even having, Sister Evangelist Tamika said, you know, sometimes we get so busy because in the hustle and the bustle of the day, but it has to be a thing that you just discipline yourself to do, to take out that time, to have that study time to, you know, say, okay, just like we have our set time that we got to go to work and a set time that we have to do this and a set time that we have other things that we do, that time has to be a time that that we make, you know, for God, you know, to study his word and to get in his word. Because one thing about it, the enemy never wants you to get into, you know, the word. He does not want us to study God's word, you know, because the word is power, you know, and he doesn't want us to be empowered, you know, and the word gives us wisdom, you know, so he doesn't want us, the enemy doesn't want us to be wise. So I would tell people that, you know, anytime people would say, oh my goodness, I'm having such a hard time going to sleep. I said, you having a hard time going to sleep? This is what you do. Get your Bible and start reading it. I promise you. I promise you. Look, I mean, because the enemy is not going to want you to read that word, but it's something about when you start reading and meditating on God's word, you will have such sweet sleep, you know. And so it's just something that we have to take time out. You know, we have to just be intentional on that being a desire of ours to want to learn of the mysteries of God, to want to know what is God saying concerning us, you know, because in his word it's truth, you know. So it has to be a desire, you know, for us to be able to want to read God's word.
All right, all right. Elder Nitesha, being intentional about studying God's word.
It's paramount as a believer that we know what we're talking about. And specifically in this culture today, you know, young adults are not interested in just the slogans, right? And the, I may not come when you want them, but you're always on time, right? As an explanation to their real life issues. And when we have to talk about the idea of sacrifice and waiting, you know, those things were good for our ancestors who were able to just kind of walk by faith and grab. And it's something to be said for that. But I do think that we have to be equipped for the mission field that we are operating in today.
Mm-hmm,
and if we identify the world as our mission field, then those of us who are believers, notice, I am not putting fivefold ministry gifts into the conversation. I'm saying that as a believer, that we need to know about so that we can evangelize, so that we can share the word with our family, and we can not just be emotional about it, but we can be intellectual about it. I love the idea of being an intellectual Christian, meaning not only do I have the emotional connection to God, but I'm intellectually astute enough to be able to discuss it and to share my faith with individuals. The idea that we can say we love Jesus, but then we don't even know how to explain to people the grace of God. We don't understand how to give the gospel message to a person. I think, you know, really is something that God is calling us attention to. And, you know, Pastor Kim quoted Timothy. I'll give you another one from Timothy, 1 Timothy 4:16. He talks, it encourages us to watch your life and doctrine closely. Persevere in them, because if you do, you will save both yourself and your hearers. Because oftentimes, our own ignorance infects us first.
What we don't understand
about the word, what we fail to identify as the word, we often share that misinterpretation and that misconception with others that often shuns people away, you know? So it's important.
Absolutely, absolutely. Oh, we have that Christian women need to be intentional in blessing other people. Blessing others, Pastor Kim, intentionally blessing others.
Amen. Yes, you know, God loves a cheerful giver, you know, and we are blessed to be a blessing, you know, and in blessing others, you know, that's a being an example of God's love, you know, because in the beginning, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, you know, and so that's how we should be able to show love by being a blessing to other people, you know, because they'll know us, the love that we have one for another. And when we love, it compels you to want to be a blessing. It compels you to want to give. It compels you to want to do. And even if being a blessing to somebody is giving them an encouraging word or one of those hugs, like my sister was talking about, one of those powerful hugs or just sharing the word of God or a prayer or whatever you can find your hands to do to be a blessing to somebody. You'll be surprised how you can pick up the phone and call somebody and tell them, I love you, and that can bless them. And they can be in awe, like, wow, you don't know how that blessed me today. I needed that. You don't know what I was going through. So that's why we have to be so sensitive by way of the Spirit, you know, and be led of the Holy Ghost every day. And Lord, what would you have me to do? What would you have for me to say? You know, do whatever you can find your hands to do. It all goes back to glorifying God, because when we are a blessing to his people, that's glorifying him. So again, we want to be able to not be stingy, but be cheerful givers, you know. And giving is not always monetary things, you know. You can give somebody your shirt off of your back, you know. You can give somebody a kind word. You can give somebody a smile. You can give somebody a phone call. So again, you know, we just have to be led of God and what it is that he would have for us to do and how he would want us to do it.
All right, amen. Elder Natisha, being intentional in blessing other people, how important is that?
It's very important. It's the same idea of giving, you know, 10% of our earnings back to God. It's really the idea of giving back time. It's giving. It's gratefulness, really. It's the action. It's the verb to gratefulness. And I'll tell you personally, you know, I remember just not being at the place that I am at now and really, really going through the season of just trusting God and being abased so that I would, you know, be content in that place and understand the importance of really just loving God and suffering through with him. And then making it to the other side where, you know, everything that he said and the things that he promised, you know, are manifesting in my life. It makes me in this place look for people. And I think that's what the intentionality is. The intentionality is not waiting for someone to confess a need to you, but it's your ability to identify the need before a person even says it. Some people are so prideful, you know, that they won't ask for help. But if you are able to just look at their situation and if you're sensitive enough to understand and see where they are and just go ahead and do it, right? You ain't got to call them and say, hey, you know, God done laid you on my heart in a long story. Just do it. Just cash app it. Just send it. You know, you look for ways and it flows out of the heart of gratitude. And so I think, you know, the way to be intentional with giving and blessing, being a blessing, is to really just practice gratitude in your heart. When you practice gratitude, then the abundance of what you have, the joy, not even necessarily tangible money, but even your joy, to be able to pass that, to share your joy, to share love, to share kindness. It's such an amazing thing, and it's so important, and the world needs it. That's us being salt in the earth. That's us being light in the midst of darkness.
All right. Oh, Lady Tamika, being intentional in blessing others. What does that mean?
So for quite a while, I had a little segment on my page that says, when you spend time with him. So when you spend time with him, there are attributes that you automatically get. You know, it's kind of like when you become the seed of someone. Let's just say, you know, you look like your parents. So there are temperaments that you have. There are attitudes. There are expressions. And so when you're spending time with the Father, that's the thing. You know, how do you become a child of the Father, or you represent me and you're not giving and you're not doing? You know, people, it's funny because the world knows the things that are not right. And so when you're spending time with Father, with the Father, you actually do the things that the Father does. And Elder Natisha stepped on my stuff a little bit, but it's okay. But, you know, there are things that you automatically, you know, the Lord will automatically give you that information, you know, not so that you can talk about someone or so that you can down someone, but because most of the time when he gives you information like that, it's so that you can help, whether it's saying a kind word, offering a prayer, giving someone a gift, you know, or doing something like you said, you know, hey, sister, how you doing? You give a little handshake and you put an extra dollar or two in their pocket, you know, and it doesn't, again, you're privy to this information to bless so that you can help. You know, sometimes he'll let you have information about someone who may have something to do with something that happened in your past. So that you've already been through it. So now it's your responsibility to be able to minister to that need so that they can see, you know, somebody, I didn't even know that Sister Such and Such went through that. And so your information is so that you can help and bless. And in that, it causes an anointing and it causes an exchange. And if that person is going through a struggle, it gives them the strength that they need to be able to go from this point to the point that they can go over.
All right. Amen, sisters. Amen. We have the intentional, being intentional. I love this one. Being intentional in blessing the Lord. Elder Natisha, Blessing the Lord. How important is that?
It's everything. It's everything. It brings you back into a centering mindset of your relationship with Him as the Creator and the created. And so offering back to Him what belongs to Him, right? I identify the fact that all of creation is His, all of creation, and me included, and that it is a privilege to be able to just bless Him just for making me, just for creating me, just for allowing me the opportunity to be here and to continue to be here. So I think it aligns us in a way that only worship can, you know, align us. And blessing God is a part of our worship to Him simply because He is God.
I'm sorry. Elder Nitesha, I'm sorry. Elder Nitesha, I'm so sorry. We're losing you. And you know my saying, I don't want to miss anything. I don't want us to miss anything. You're breaking up really badly.
Oh, I'm sitting in the same spot. I don't know why.
I'm sorry, but we couldn't hear anything you were saying, so sorry to interrupt you.
Okay,
let's try this again.
That's
please
okay.
Continue.
Can you hear me now?
I can hear you,
how's
yes.
How's it doing?
Yes. Much
okay.
better, much
okay.
better. Thank you.
Okay. So just simply that, you know, blessing God is a part of our worship. It's a part of centering and identifying, you know, that we are God's creation, and that as being His creation, to align ourselves and become one with Him, recognizing that He has the authority, that He is the sovereign God, that's what blessing God does. It brings to our remembrance, it brings to the forefront of our minds our position and our posture as it pertains to God. It places us as the created, and He the Creator, us as the child, and God as the Father.
Amen, amen, amen. Ah, Lady Tamika, intentional in blessing others. I'm blessing God. I'm sorry, blessing God.
A lot of times, people, and I'm not saying Christians, but just people in general, don't take time out to say thank you. I appreciate you. You know, that was a wonderful thing that you did. And I think it's so important, you know, to not utilize the Father as a gift giver, or that is His job. You're supposed to, you know, a lot of times, you know, just in general, people just get up and you do a favor, something as simple as opening up a door. You walk right past and never look back to say thank you. And I think that it is important that we acknowledge the Father and say thank you so much. You know, I thank you. You even something as simple as you brought me through this is acknowledging, if it hadn't been for you, God, where would I be? Something as simple as getting up this morning and when you get out of the bed, you know, getting down on your knees is your way of saying thank you, Father. I made it another day. How would I have been able to get to this point without you? Looking back over your life and realizing that all of those different pitfalls that were there to make you fall and you're still standing. I made it to this point. How in the world could I have made it without you? It's so vital to be able to say thank you, Father. I appreciate you. God, you are wonderful. You are awesome. And just take time out, you know, every day to say, you know, Lord, I thank you, because I wouldn't have been able to get to this point without you.
All right, all right. Pastor Kim, you have the final say today. And we're talking about being intentional in blessing God. How do you want to close today?
What comes to my mind is Psalms 34. David said, I will bless the Lord at all times, and His praises shall continually be in my mouth. Woo! I was over here just burning excited about that scripture, you know, because it just fell in my spirit, and I just got a feeling and a thought of David, you know, and how he was such a praiser and he was such a worshiper, and when we understand that that's what God made us and created us to do, you know, was to give Him glory and to praise Him, you know. And in all things, we have to give thanks. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning us. So we just have to have a thankful heart.
We should, you know, always be, you know, in a place of just giving God thanks and just glorifying him and just worshiping him and in our praise and with a heart of thanksgiving. The song said, I will bless thee, O Lord, you know, with a heart of thanksgiving, you know, with my hands lifted up, you know, I will bless thee, O Lord. You know, we have to have a praise down on the inside of us. And when we love God and we are, you know, just forever grateful for the things that God has done for us, we will, you know, glorify him in our praise and in our worship, you know, and doing all the other things that we have discussed today. You know, all of those things will glorify God and let him know how much that we are truly thankful. Because when we T-H-I-N-K, we should be compelled to T-H-A-N-K, you know, so it just comes naturally. It just comes naturally. You know, we as Christians, this should be the life that we live, you know, that we just, you know, on purpose, you know, just intentionally, you know, glorify God in everything that we do.
Oh, amen. Amen, ladies. Another fantastic journey we've been on together, and blessing God for blessing us with you. Thank you so much for giving us everything you've got, and have a blessed day.
You too. Thank you.
You as well.
Thank you. Thank you. Ah, and it is Wednesday, so there's only one way we end our Wednesday, and that's to get our Faith Over Fear segment with our Pastor Charlene. Good morning, Pastor Charlene.
Good morning, Pastor Steph. How are you today?
I'm well, thank you. I'm well. Well, we've been talking about intentional living. And we know for some Christians that's not, you know, easy to come by because there's a level of fear in many different areas. Well, I'll give you an opportunity to choose your area and to give us that faith factor that needs to go in that place instead of that fear. What you got for us today?
Absolutely. Fear will block you because you won't step out on the Lord at all. You will stay in the shell and think that you cannot do it, that you are not created to do it, that God did not call you to do it. So you have to be able to overcome that fear and allow God just to be able to show you that I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. That is his word. I was loving because one of my favorites is, I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praises shall continually be in my mouth. And it was so many times that you have to be able to say these scriptures to push you through it, to be able for you to know that you can do it, that you are called by God. You are his child. So we have to just be able to step out and be able to intentionally step out on God, you know, and don't allow the fear to override you. You know, you have to be able just to push forward. A lot of times in different areas, you know, we don't want to push forward through it. But you have to be able to stand on him and know that he's with you at all times. Know that he said in his word he will never leave you nor forsake you. Know that he will not only just be with you, but he had already ordained you for the task. He already put inside you all that the tools that you need for whatever your gift is that he has given you. So it's up to you just to continue to press forward, move you out the way, move you and be able to say, you know what, even when I don't see it, I'm going to do it. Even when I don't feel it, I'm going to do it. Even when everybody around me saying I can't do it, I'm going to do it. And show and prove to the people that they are wrong about you. Why are they wrong about you? Because who is your Father? Abba, Father. And when you lift your hands up to him and you be able to call on his name, you can do it. When you are lift up your hands, he will guide you. He will send exactly who you need
to push you in that direction of where that you need to go. So you just continue to step out on him. Continue to push forward. You know, it's like people who watch football. Amen. And when the player has the ball and he grabs the ball and he go to running. But when he go to running, you know, the enemy will come, which we want to use the other team as the enemy. The enemy will come and they'll try to grab you, try to block you. You got to shake them off. And then he'll come and you'll have some that will grab on the back of your clothes. And you'll watch the football game and you'll see there'll be so many of them that's holding. But he keeps on going because God gives you that extra energy, amen, to push you through it. And when you go, you got to get to the final. I don't watch football, so I don't know the name of them. But the end zone.
Touch.
It's on the end zone. And you got to go across to the finish line. And that Goldie that's standing there where it has the two things that stop, that's Jesus standing on the other side of you with his arm standing up. So you can do it. And you get on the other side and you will rejoice him. Why? Because you was intentionally going to the other side. You made up in your mind that nothing was standing my way. You made up in your mind that I'm going to go to the end. And I made up in my mind that I will keep on pressing no matter what it looked like. And you got to remember, sometimes they'll tackle you and they'll jump on top of you. But all you got to do, like the woman with the issue of blood, stretch your arm out on the other side. And when you stretch your arm out on the other side, right there, remember I said God is on that side. He will pull you over. And you have made it. And you have got the victory. So let nothing stand in your way. No fear, and believe and trust in him that you can do it, because you trust and believe in only one person, and that's nobody but your Heavenly Father. And he will pull you to the other side, and you do your victory dance on the other side on today. That's your faith over fear.
Thank you, Pastor Charlotte, for your intentional delivery. Oh, we pray you have a blessed day today.
We all do the same too. God bless you.
Thank you. Thank you. Ah, what a segment. God is good. God is good all the time. We've come to the point in our morning where we hold hands and we hold hearts together and go before the Lord as a unit. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you, God, and as always, we say thank you first and foremost before saying anything else to you. Thank you so much for allowing us to get up today. We said our individual prayers and we got our food. We've already eaten from a full table that has been prepared for us in the presence of our enemies. When people thought that we would be nothing, you prepared this table before us. When people thought that we would just roll over and kill over and die, we would not make it. Here we are. Here we are, ministering and receiving your word. Thank you so much for just blowing and breathing the breath of life into our bodies, dear Heavenly Father, so that we could either minister or receive the word that we needed today, just for us to make it through. Because, see, today is a day that somebody needed this word. Somebody who's listening needed this, Lord. If they needed one thing or if they needed nine things, they needed what we had today. Just a level of guidance, a level of caution, a level of encouragement, just some basic information. We say thank you because you're always looking out for our best interests. You continuously look beyond our faults and find our needs, God. Because if the enemy had his way, as has been said, we wouldn't be here right now, or we'd be so much further behind than where we are now. So all the glory and honor goes to you. We bless your name, God. We bless you for just being who you are and not being like man, not disappointing us, not, you know, making promises, and then at the last minute you pull the rug from underneath our feet and we're trying to figure out how we're going to make it and what do we do now and what which way do we turn. Thank you for being the man you are. Thank you for being a man of your word who has kept every promise, even when we didn't even deserve it, God. You said, I'm going to give it anyway. We say thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, God. Thank you, God, when we were not intentionally living and we were doing our own thing, even after saying yes to you. We did what we wanted to do. We turned our foot in the direction that made us feel good or made us comfortable or gave us pleasure, giving no regard as to how disobedient we were. And we just thank you because you just pushed us across the line any old way. How do we say thank you for something like that? Thank you is so small. So we bless your name because it is so rightly due you. Even when we're tired, even when we're low, even when we're busy, even when the world seems like it's coming down on us, even when we're sitting at the top, we just want to bless your name. We ask you, dear Heavenly Father, to just continue to point the way. Bring back these scriptures to our remembrance so that we can intentionally live. We want to intentionally love one another. We want to intentionally read and study your word. We want to do this, God, and we're just asking you to help turn us from a desire to it actually happening, that we would learn to allow you to prioritize our day so we don't meet the end of the day and still scratching our head trying to figure out how much we haven't gotten done, that we don't spend the day and get to the end of the day and then remembering, oh, I forgot to pray, oh, I forgot to read, oh, I forgot to. So we're asking you, God, that today you help us with waking up and letting you set the schedule and the order for the day, because we know that whatever you do is done in decency and in order. So we hand it over to you today, God. Yes, we said that before. Yes, 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 you've heard that before. But today, because you gave us another opportunity to get it right, we're going to start all over again. And we thank you for the window of opportunity. We pray, God, that we just pay a little more attention to our children. Pay more attention to their needs. Pay more attention to their activities. Pray for them more and care more enough to ask those questions that maybe we didn't think to ask before. But today you taught us a lesson about just asking that extra question, regardless of their uncomfortability, because we have a job to do. And we pray, God, for all the parents who have crossed over the threshold to having those young adults. Ooh, God, have you given us a job? But thank you, because we are not doing it alone. We don't have to do it alone. See, there are a set of eyes that will never see what we see. But thank you for being who you are, that you don't have to switch gear, make somebody else wait. I gotta wait till so-and-so. No, you can pay attention to all of our children at the same time. And we ask you, God, to just help bring back to their remembrance everything that they've been taught, everything that they've been told, everything they've heard in church, every scripture that they were taught. We just ask you, God, to just continuously knock on their door, even if they don't know why they're saying no. Even though they may not understand why they're walking away. But we're leaving this job to you because we can't do it once they leave our presence. So we're relying on you, and God, we thank you for being that man that we can rely on, that we don't have to worry about you disappointing us or being too busy or forgetting. Thank you. Thank you for loving us in only a way that you can. And we will always continue to bless your name. In the precious name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Isn't it good to know the Lord? Isn't it good to know the Lord? I don't know about you, but I think about the fact that my life is lived intentionally now. You know, when you first say, I do to the Lord, you know, you have one level of understanding. You have one level of understanding, and, you know, you think about all the things that, you know, you have been doing and all the things you need to get rid of and all that kind of good stuff. But you never quite sink your teeth into some of the things that you really need to, you know, get yourself involved in. And as we are going through these areas of intentional living, I think about how many of us who said I did to God, but these things and other things were not intentional. See, there's a reason why we're talking, because we've talked about quite a few of these things before. But we're talking about intentionally doing these things. That means that come what may, I'm going to make sure this gets done. I'm going to make sure that I make time to do this. And I'm going to take time away from some areas that really don't need me, that really don't need that kind of time, that I'm not going to, you know, think about how I can get it done. I'm going to intentionally bless God so that he can intentionally lead the way. I'm going to intentionally turn it over to the Lord so that I can intentionally get this thing right. Will it make me perfect? Absolutely not. However, I think it was Elder Natisha who was saying that, you know, when she looks back, Pastor Charlene, when she looks back, Pastor Kim, when she looks back, Lady Tamika, when she looks back, when we look back, we look at what we didn't quite get done. And when we focus, we can remember why. What was more important at the time? But thanks be to God that he just kept waking us up, and he just kept waking us up, and he just kept intentionally waking us up. So now we know the meaning of intentional living. And man, oh man, oh man, what a difference a day makes. What a difference it makes a day. Because see, and I talk about this all the time, you know, we get up and we don't know from, you know, morning to morning what we're going to talk here. I keep telling you, it's not scripted. You know, how many times we've been after this one particular topic to get this done for a minute. But because other conversations that God needs to take place have to happen, we don't quite, you know, get it done. So there's always a newness in every day. That's God, that is God's intention. And that's what we have to pay attention to. We can't look at, oh, you know, this went wrong or that went wrong. Or, no, what did God want us to do? Did we do what he wanted us to do? was it intentional that we got up and we really, really sent, not just the lip service, but that we really, really, really gave it all to him and just say, you know, however the chips fall today, God, and I don't mean just this passive way of living. I hope you follow what I'm saying. But just understanding that I'm watching for you, Lord. I'm watching to see where you are in this day. I'm watching to see how you move the pieces around on the chessboard today. That sometimes when I keep getting this no, and this thing just won't happen no matter how hard I tried it, I got to pay attention to the fact that, maybe you don't want it to happen. I got to make sure that I'm always at the top of my game and paying attention to the Lord. Because there's always, always something there that God wants us to see. So we ain't got to intentionally put those glasses on. We've got to intentionally make sure that we stay focused so that we can do everything that God has us to do. See, we can't live our life haphazardly, you know, whichever way the wind blows. No. Haven't we learned from that kind of living? Oh, I know I have. And I've always been a very focused individual. But even in being focused, there were times when you just say, ah. And man, oh man, it just doesn't work out. So how can we be a blessing to other people? You know, be intentional in being a blessing to others. Well, live right. Follow God. Study God's word. Preach the gospel. All these intentional things that we talked about, being intentional when we're loving one another, is how we bless God, how we bless other people, how we get the job done. When we get up and we say, today, this is the day the Lord has made, I am going to follow whatever he has me to do. God, what do you want me to do today? And thank you so much for giving me an opportunity to get it done. Because you could have closed my eyes overnight. And somebody could have been calling the paramedics or calling the city morgue to come pick up my body. But thank you for intentionally waking me up today. So let's live intentionally and make sure we're blessing God in everything that we do, because it all matters. It all belongs to God. God owns it all, as one of the ladies said today. And when we understand that, we need to make sure that our living is intentional on every level and in every way. Okay? Please like us on Facebook, A Closer Walk Media Network. It's how we are found. Follow us on Blog Talk Radio. Remember, when you open up that link, press that pink follow button and you will be notified each and every time we upload a new segment. Follow us on Instagram at ACW_media_network to stay updated with our tips, topics, and our guests. Knock on our door, Coach for Christian Life, or A Closer Walk Media Network, and let us know what you think of, you know, what you think of the segment for that day. Okay, we'd love to hear from you. Go back and listen to past episodes. Oh, my. I don't know where you've been for the past weeks, if you've just joined us and, or you're just one of those six new countries that just got added in. Praise God. You know, hey, go back and listen. You just might remember that you didn't hear something that you may want to hear, and you just might remember that you had to hang up real fast, and I need to go back and listen. So please do so. Please go to Apple iTunes and Apple Podcasts to rate and review the show, and tune in tomorrow, God spares, for Therapeutic Thursday. Ah, you've been listening to It's Due Time with Pastor Steph. Join us Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. where we discuss matters of the heart, mind, and spirit. As you go through your day, be sure to set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. They will always serve as a distraction. Remember, prayer changes things. It's Pastor Steph signing off, and I want to thank my Due Time crew for helping me hold it down, and I want to thank you for listening and hanging out with me today. Oh, remember, choose Jesus as your personal Savior right now, because later is not promised to us. Until tomorrow, God spares, I love you.